Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We have so much to talk about in this program with the three attacks that just occurred in London. But before we do, we want to go straight to the White House as we hear from President Trump's weekly address as he talks about his first international trip and what a success it was. Watch this.
My fellow Americans, I am thrilled to be back in the United States after our first historic foreign trip. Over the course of 9 days, Melania and I traveled to some of the holiest sites in the three Abrahamic religions and met with nearly 100 foreign leaders. Everywhere we went, my goal was to advance American interests, to build a coalition of nations to drive out the terrorists, and to unlock a future of peace, prosperity, and hope for all Americans and people around the world. In Saudi Arabia, I was honored to participate in a historic summit with the leaders of more than 50 Muslim and Arab nations, where King Salman and many other leaders expressed their desire to take on a greater role in defeating terrorists who murder innocents of all faiths. At this unprecedented summit, we opened a new center to combat extremist ideology, launched a task force to block funding for terrorists, and agreed to a massive economic development deal that will create hundreds of thousands of new jobs in the United States. I also discussed the importance of the nations of the region taking more responsibility on migration so that more young people are part of creating a better future in their home societies. From Saudi Arabia, I traveled to Jerusalem, where I reaffirmed the unbreakable bond between the United States and Israel. There, I prayed at the Western Wall, visited the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and was awed by the majesty of that sacred land and the perseverance of the Jewish people. I also traveled to Bethlehem, another ancient city of wonder, where I met with Palestinian leader President Abbas. Both President Abbas and Prime Minister Netanyahu assured me they are ready to reach for peace. From Israel, I traveled to Italy, where Melania and I were greatly honored to visit the Vatican and meet Pope Francis. He was really wonderful, a great guy. Then I traveled to two summits with our key allies. First, the NATO summit in Brussels, where nations agreed they must do more to meet their financial obligations and pay their fair share, because right now it is not fair to the United States, but it soon will be. Next, I attended the G7 summit in Italy, where we worked to improve coordination on shared security threats, achieve more fair trade that gives workers a level playing field, and agreed on the goal that refugees should be resettled as close to their home countries as possible so they could be part of the future rebuilding. Before we returned home, I was delighted to conclude my trip by visiting American military families, unbelievable people, the true source of our strength. We will always protect those who protect us. Our first foreign trip was full of historic and unprecedented achievements. Joined by many old and new friends, we have paved the way for the new era of cooperation, one that calls upon each nation to take more responsibility to bring peace to their people, one that works together to defeat the scourge of terrorism and deliver hope to all of God's children, and one that protects American interests so we remain a strong and prosperous nation, strong and prosperous like never before, and a beacon of freedom and opportunity for many years to come. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
What a successful trip. You know, there's been a lot of firsts for this international trip for President Trump. It's the first time a U.S. president ever visited Israel on their first, you know, international trip, as well as the first president ever to pray at the Western Wall. But not only that, President Trump goes internationally and he makes these historic, amazing deals where $500 billion are going to be reinvested back into the United States from Saudi Arabia and some of those Gulf countries. Listen, this was a great trip, not to mention NATO, where he stands up for the American taxpayer and says 23 of these 28 nations are not paying the bill. and it's not going to be on the taxpayers' back anymore. You have to start paying for your defense. We are grateful for President Trump and for his representation of the United States around the globe. We have so many things to discuss with you today. But, you know, three attacks in the last 3 months in Great Britain. Great Britain is under siege.
Yeah.
You know, it's under siege by radical Islamic terrorism. And what's happening there is just outrageous. It's horrific.
You know, and it's horrible to see that continual stress, that continual anxiety. And it's just like you see these people constantly under just that fear. And it's just like your heart, it just goes out to them. And you see just the same headlines repeating
itself. It's gripping
itself.
That nation.
Yeah.
You know, there's three attacks. One that occurred on Westminster Bridge. Mm-hmm. Another one that occurred in Manchester at a concert of all places. A person that strapped themselves with a bomb, and so many people died and were injured. It's left these people scarred.
Teenagers, young children.
Scarred.
Yeah.
And then here recently, of course, you had the London Bridge attack where these guys mowed people over. I mean, just drove over them, abandoned the vehicle, and began to stab other people at a market.
Yeah.
I want you to watch kind of this little synopsis. This kind of brings a lot of these things here together. Before we begin to unpack, because there's a link to this. This is not just happening. There's a reason why this is happening. Watch this.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
At 8 minutes past 10 last night, we began to receive reports that a vehicle had struck pedestrians on London Bridge. The vehicle continued to drive then from London Bridge to Borough Market. The suspects left the vehicle, attempting to stab a number of people, including an on-duty British Transport police officer who was responding to the incident, and he received serious injuries, fortunately not life-threatening. Armed response officers then responded very quickly and bravely and confronted the three male suspects who were shot and killed in Borough Market within 8 minutes of the first call.
People, you know, running, screaming, and then, the police sirens came in.
And then they started to tell us to evacuate.
And then they told everyone to evacuate. So as we looked out, you know, we're on the third floor. As we looked out our window, you know, we're seeing people running and evacuating.
I picked up some passengers. There was two passengers. Apparently they came out of the Black and Blue restaurant. And they described, how they described to me was they were preventing the guys from getting into the restaurant. She managed to hold the door for a few seconds, but then I think they're overpowered. So they managed to escape from the rear door.
I'm appalled and furious that these cowardly terrorists would deliberately target innocent Londoners and bystanders enjoying their Saturday night. There can be no justification for the acts of these terrorists. And I'm quite clear that we will never let them win, nor will we allow them to cower our city or Londoners.
It has now been confirmed, sadly, that seven members of the public have died. In the early hours of this morning, I visited one of the hospitals where the injured are being treated. There I heard truly remarkable stories of extraordinarily brave actions by officers on and off duty who were first on the scene.
This is, as we all know, the third terrorist attack Britain has experienced in the last 3 months. We cannot and must not pretend that things can continue as they are. The whole of our country needs to come together to take on this extremism, and we need to live our lives not in a series of separated, segregated communities, but as one truly united kingdom.
I just want to say that our hearts really go out to the victims, they go out to their families, and really to Great Britain as a nation. You know, three attacks in 3 months, that takes a devastating blow to just, you know, people's own spirits, their own souls.
You start to become numb to the continual just crises that are happening in your culture.
That or fearful that at any moment, a bomb, explosion, someone can come out with a knife and, you know, and stab you 15 times. I want to put 3663 up because I want to just show you what happened in this London Bridge attack. You know, the first thing that this comes from the BBC. The first thing that says is that, you know, number one is that they ran people over. It's the very top line there. Ran people over with their van. Mm-hmm. Then they abandoned the van, okay? Three men jump out. They continue running on foot to this public market, to this area. And then they begin to start stabbing people, Steve, mm-hmm. and killing folks. The police responded within 8 minutes. Reports are that the police put these guys down within 8 minutes. And so we're thankful for law enforcement. We're thankful for the incredible work that they do. But what is driving these attacks? What is the link? I mean, we're seeing that it's radical Islamic terrorism.
It's evil.
And this is evil. This is reportedly being done, you know, during Ramadan, mm-hmm. their most holiest month. This is what is happening during their religion, where they take time to pray and to fast.
Prayer and fasting, and they're seeking their God, Allah, and looking to do things that glorify His name. And you're seeing it's just outright evil.
What is going on here? And the nation better really pay attention. All in the middle of so many folks coming against the president's travel ban, and now this thing is up in the courts, and they're trying to determine if this is legal. Listen, it's legal. It's the president's job to defend, you know, the Constitution and to put borders around our country to make sure that the citizens are safe. But, you know, it's not just the United States President Donald Trump who has strong remarks mm-hmm. about, refugees and the migrants and how Europe is being taken over, Steve. Mm-hmm. But it's also the Prime Minister of Poland.
Yeah.
And in this article that we're going to share with you, and Steve's going to do some reading for us, they begin to unpack and begin to talk about the link between these London attacks, these Great Britain attacks, and their migration policy. Mm-hmm. Would you pick up with us and share as we just kind of unpack this?
She says it is impossible not to connect terror and migration. And this is Bata Szydło. She's the Prime Minister of Poland. She has linked the Westminster attack to Europe's migration policy, claiming it was impossible not to connect the two issues.
And I think that's important because you have so many people trying to, lie and not fully represent what's happening. But these attacks, she's saying, is absolutely linked to this huge amount of refugees that the European Union said, yes, we'll take Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany. We'll take them. We'll be generous. And now you have, tons of these refugees. A lot of people just looking for help and needing help, but mm-hmm. in the midst of all of that, you have some really bad characters that want to do some harmful things.
Right. She continues to say, she says, I hear in Europe very often, do not connect the migration policy with terrorism, but it is impossible not to connect them. And this is the Prime Minister of Poland, she says. This is to a broadcaster, TVN24. She says, continues to say, four people were killed and at least 50 people were injured when he plowed, and this is, she's talking in reference to the terror, she said, when he plowed his car into pedestrians on the Westminster Bridge.
Now, this was the Westminster
Bridge.
This
is
the very first attack of the three that just occurred in London, and she's making this correlation and this connection after the first one.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
She says, he then stabbed PC Keith Palmer to death outside the Houses of Parliament. She continues to say the comments came shortly after the European Union's Migration Commissioner Dimitris Avramopoulos, on a visit to Warsaw, warned member states against failing to host refugees to help alleviate pressure on frontline states bearing the brunt of arrivals across the Mediterranean.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing how finally they're now recognizing when the worst crisis can imaginable is happening. Then they're saying, oh, then they must be connected.
But they made this agreement, the European Union, and this migration, what's he called, commissioner, is telling them, hey, listen, don't forget, you guys got to take these other folks in because it's putting pressure on these frontline countries. And the Prime Minister of Poland saying, well, wait a minute, don't you guys see what's happening? I mean, it's these policies that has, Great Britain under fire right now. I'm not too sure that this was a great policy. Continue reading what she says is amazing.
She continues to say, Poland's right-wing Eurosceptic government has refused to accept any of the 6,200 migrants allocated under the European Union's quota scheme that was designed to share the burden of taking the large number of refugees who have come to Europe over the past 2 years.
She also says here that the commissioner should concentrate on what to do to avoid such acts as yesterday in London.
Wow.
This is the stuff that you got to concentrate on.
Yeah.
She said, adding that her country would not succumb to blackmail such as that expressed by the commissioner. And she said that 2 days after his visit that another terrorist attack occurred, which we know and have been linked to these problems. Nigel Farage, He is the leader of the UK Independent Party, had some remarkable things to say, and I think it's so important.
Sure.
But read the first quote that he's quoted saying in his article, because this is powerful.
Yeah. It seems to me our political leaders really ought to start saying sorry.
Say that again. Say that
That's
again.
That's huge. I mean, this is a huge moment to recognize this. It seems to me our political leaders really ought to start saying sorry. He argued that politicians who encouraged open immigration were responsible for the attacks. What these politicians have done for the last 15 years may well affect how we live in the country for the next 100 years.
It's time to link these two together. It's time to say, hey, listen, it's these policies that everyone said, oh, yeah, let's open the borders. Let's look. We're open society. We want to be welcoming. Look what's happening all across Europe.
Yeah.
And now it's the same kind of thing we're seeing with this Paris climate, green thing going on. All these countries are joining together saying, hey, this is a good thing. And it's the United States that's stepping back and saying, no, we're not going to participate in that. We're not going to do anything that's going to hurt the American people. And this is what's happening. The people who are suffering with these policies, it doesn't happen to be any politicians right now. It's the citizens of Great Britain. It's the citizens of all these different nations that these policies open up to. Yes.
Affecting.
And we're unpacking what has been taking place in London and really other parts of the world. I mean, you're seeing, the Islamic terrorists rise up again. There was a quietness that was out there for a little while. And now we're seeing it just month after month, attack after attack. And we're seeing a lot of people debate, really it's politicians, what is going on? What are the policies that are opening the doors to these attacks? And what is it about radical Islam that for some reason these folks claim this religion, and it says that they're doing this all in honor of Allah? There's a recent attack that occurred in Paris, but right now I want you to talk about, I want you to hear about what President Trump had to say, because he tweeted out some really important, I think, messages and things that he wanted to convey. Mm-hmm. The first one saying is, whatever the United States can do to help out in London and the UK, we will be there. We are with you. God bless. And so the United States, as the superpower, lone superpower of the world, wants to lend support to our great allies, Great Britain, and say, hey, we've got your back. And, of course, they had our back when, 9/11 happened, and that relationship will always appears to, to remain. But he also tweeted this out, and this is getting a lot of attention. He says, that's right, we need a travel ban for certain dangerous countries, not some politically correct term that won't help protect our people. And that's important because the president signed an executive order limiting, a travel ban, allowing people come from different countries into our nation. In fact, there were seven of these countries, same countries that President Obama identified that were dangerous as well. But right now, a judge has blocked this order and it's about to go to the Supreme Court. But this is the president's job, is to protect the citizens of America and to make sure that our borders are defensible. For the last 8 years in our previous administration, these borders have been completely porous. There have been so many people that have come in illegally.
We don't know who's coming in.
Yeah, and not just people, Steve, that are looking to, do good in our country. There's a lot of people that want to come to America to prosper, to have a better future for themselves and for their children. Mm-hmm. But there have been a lot of people who've come to this country with nefarious motives, wanting to do a lot of bad things, including, terrorist attacks.
Yeah, and that's... It's horrific, the fact that what we're seeing in the UK right now is exposing the fact that you're seeing such a double-sided argument in America right now. You have people automatically criticizing the president, saying we've got to close our borders, let's get some clarity, let's understand who's coming in, let's establish a good vetting process. And you have people uprising, saying we're all immigrants, you can't do that. And you're finally realizing the fact that the president is obviously making decisions for what you're saying. He understands that he has to protect America.
He sees stuff that the average citizen does not see. Forget the average citizen. He sees things that come across his daily report, his briefing, that some congressmen, senators don't even know.
Yeah.
And so he's making sure that on his watch, and this is why we voted, this is why we had an election, and we all had an opportunity to put who we wanted as president, commander-in-chief of our nation. And a lot of people have been very concerned that our country has not been safe. I want you to go to the special alert, and I want you to see what just happened in Australia and see if you can see the link. Watch this.
Is taking credit for an Australian terror standoff that left one man dead and three police officers hurt. Police killing the 29-year-old Somali refugee in a shootout after they say he lured a woman into an apartment building where he held her hostage and shot a man dead. The suspect, a known criminal on parole, had been acquitted of plotting a terror attack at a Sydney Army base in two.
A terrorist attack. Mm-hmm. Another one. You know, I just had a conversation with a gentleman from St. Paul,
Minnesota.
And we were talking about Somalia and all the refugees. And I said, tell me about that. How do the people feel about all the refugees and all the people that are coming in from Somalia to, you know, Minnesota, this particular city? He says they don't like it. You know, they declared it a sanctuary city. There's people there. They're fearful. There's a lot of attacks. A lot of these refugees from Somalia have left Minnesota and they've gone to fight with ISIS. Mm-hmm. This is what happens when we don't, you know, enforce the laws that we have. We're not trying to create new laws. At least the president is not. He's doing what's written on the paper. It's called the Constitution to defend the United States.
And it's so important because we actually did a program entirely devoted to understanding the biblical perspective of sanctuary cities. Because if someone wants to come in, that's wonderful. But there's a legal process to doing that. We're not against people coming, but we want to make sure that we're doing it in a legal, good way.
In a legal way, in a way that we can vet who it is that's coming. Listen, you vet people every day from walking into your house. You have a door. It has a lock. You don't have a door, you know, wide open. Someone knocks on your door. You even have put a no soliciting sign saying, don't even knock on my door. Don't want you on my property, right? But you open the door with the screen. You say, yes, can you identify yourself? Mm-hmm. How can I help you? You don't open the door and say, hey, just walk on in. Well, we need to have a vetting process that's constitutional and defends. And the thing about the Constitution that he's supposed to defend it against, you know, foreign people that want to, you know, destroy us and
domestic.
And domestic.
Yeah.
But I want you to listen to Department of Homeland Security General Kelly, just appointed by, you know, Trump's administration, by President Trump. And this guy seems to be doing an amazing job. But this is his testimony before Congress about this executive order and why he supports what the president wants to do in terms of, you know, making sure that we have a vetting process to allow people into our nation. Watch this.
Mr. Congressman, again, my feeling is the vetting on the other end in those seven countries are suspect. And Mr. Trump, and certainly in my view, we have to do a pause, which he ordered, now is under court action, so that we can take a look at what we're doing on the other end. I believe the vetting on the other end right now is not adequate to protect the nation. And then, of course, we're considering other measures, adding to the vetting on the other end, so that we can ensure even more so that the right people are coming to the United States and not bad people.
Thank you.
Making sure the right people come here and not bad people. Listen, the vetting process in some of these nations, people are giving, you know, fake passports. They've changed their names. They don't even know who these people are. And we're just opening the gates and saying, come in. And this has been happening now for the last 8 years in our previous administration. But I want you to listen to what Kamal Saleem had to say at Morning Star Conference. This was a radical jihadist, former radical jihadist, sent here to the United States to do jihad. There was just one small problem. He found God while he was here. And God just changed his life. He accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And now he's sharing the gospel and the good news and warning us as to the evil intent and what these jihadists want to do in our nation. Watch what he had to say.
In 2010, the U.S. Patrol Border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists crossed into the United States of America. 2010. And the numbers are escalating. And what happened, the reason why they know those numbers and they report them because they could not deport them back because Canada or Mexico would not take them back, so America is stuck with them. And America would not send anyone to jail, so what they have to do is give them a court date. And because we have no place and no money to spend on them, so they release them back into society and they disappear. And so what happened is, today America is in grave dangers. And why? Because they want to hurt the United States of America, specifically the church.
They want to hurt the United States of America, and specifically, got cut out, the church. Well, they want to hurt you. 450,000 of these Islamists?
And that was in 2010.
Yes. Radical, meant to do, they want to do harm, have slipped into our nation. Mm. How many, think about it, since 2010, have been able to come in? Listen, I want you to hear the words from General Kelly, because people are saying, well, what's the big deal? Let's allow these people in, you know, into the country. Look at Great Britain. And that's what a lot of people want to do here in the United States. They want you to look over to Europe and say, they're so progressive and they're so open. And look at the health care and look what they're doing with, you know, migration. Well, the question is, yeah, look what is happening.
But what are the consequences?
Yeah,
of
what
those
are
actions?
The consequences for those policies? Look what's happening to Germany. Mm-hmm. And now they want to use those same procedures, those same policies here in the United States. But this is what the person, Director of Homeland Security, General Kelly, this is his job, to make sure our borders are safe, they're secure, and he sees a whole bunch of intel. Listen to what he had to say to the host of Fox and Friends.
I was telling Steve on the way in here, if he knew what I know about terrorism, he'd never leave the house in the morning.
If he knew, we got to play that again. We got to play that again. If he knew what I knew about terrorism, he'd never leave the house. Would you play that again? Because it was so fast. But this is what the director of Homeland Security told the Fox News anchor about his intel.
I was telling Steve on the way in here, if he knew what I know about terrorism, he'd never leave the house in the morning.
She says, really?
Isn't that amazing? It's just so many people can, you know, have a comment Monday morning after Sunday. Mm-hmm. They call them Monday morning quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
Because it's just like, well, why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? And it's just, when we don't see the very same things that these leaders that we've elected have now been exposed to, we don't understand their decision-making process, we can't judge that.
Yeah.
Leadership is, one of the things I've learned is that leadership is the easiest thing to do when you're not the one leading. But all of a sudden, when you find yourself in that role, you find out that there are so many more variables that you have to take in consideration. And when you make decisions, it's based off those variables.
Yeah, because when you're a leader, the buck stops here. You're the one that's going to take full responsibility. Unless you plan to throw responsibility off, then you don't have to make tough decisions.
Yeah.
But if you know that you're going to own up to it, then you like you said, you got to take all things into perspective.
Yep.
Listen, we've got to go to a break, but when we get back, we're going to be talking about some biblical perspective. And listen, are these signs of the times? It makes me think about Revelation 6 and the four horsemen. And we've been talking about these London attacks. We've been talking about, you know, Homeland Security, General Kelly, and what we need to do to protect our citizens, you know, so that we can not experience these same things on a deeper and a higher level, you know, and they can come in more frequently.
Yeah.
But also, you know, it makes me think so much, Steve, about how we're living in the end times. I mean, if you look at all these different things that are happening with Israel, with the Middle East, with technology, there's a huge convergence happening.
And it's increasing.
And it's
faster and faster, exponentially.
Exponentially. I mean, it just keeps exploding. And it makes me think about Revelation 6 with the four horsemen and the judgments that are going to be released in the end times.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to watch this.
And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll sealed with seven seals. And I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. Behold, a white horse. He opened the second seal. A horse, fiery red, went out. And a third seal, a black horse. And when he opened the fourth seal, behold, a pale horse, and he who sits on it is named Death. Four horses of the apocalypse.
This really makes me think, Steve. This really makes me think about the singer, Misty Edwards from IHOP. You know, she sing this song called People Get Ready.
That's right.
You know, it's time to be ready. I was sharing my testimony yesterday with someone, and I was talking to them about the sign of the times, and they were discussing with me, and people know, everyone knows something is going on in this world. And we need Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, every person needs a personal relationship with the Lord because we're living in these last days. But there's two perspectives that we really need to think about when it comes to what's happening in London, what's happening around the world in terms of these terrorist attacks. For us as Americans, we need to look at in two different contexts, those of us who are Americans and Christians.
Right.
As an American Christian, as an American, we have to view this in terms of in the context of our Constitution. You know, we have a Constitution, mm-hmm. and it's written down for a purpose, right? This is the law of the land. And we have to do vetting. We have to make sure that people that come to our nation truly want to assimilate and become citizens. They have to sign, you know, a pledge, an oath to say that they're going to renounce the place where they came from, mm-hmm. and saying, I want to live by the law of this land, not circumvent it or not bring religious laws into this new country that I want to be a part of called America. As citizens of America, we deserve that people that want to come here simply abide by the Constitution. Nothing new. This has been already
been established.
Right. But the second thing, as a believer, we need to view what's happening on a greater scale in context of the Word of God. And you and I have been talking about this for a while. It's time for us as the church to get busy and be about the Father's business.
Because you look at it, Jesus even said that these signs are going to increase. We're seeing it already increase, but the thing is, though, these struggles are going to become more and more, and it's easy that you were talking about that it can consume you, but we can't get horizontally focused. When we get vertically focused and understand it's about Jesus, it's much easier to navigate those realities. And Jesus even talked about it. He said it's birth pains. If you imagine a woman in labor as the labor pains increase, become more intense, get closer and closer, she's closer to birth. Yeah. But after that is life.
You know, I think about the disciples when they asked Jesus, what are the sign of the times?
Yeah.
And the first thing that Jesus said, the very first thing says, do not be deceived. Listen, there is great deception going around here. And there's a lot of people trying to peddle their own way of thinking or their policy or their strategy because they're trying to get something out of it. It's for us to understand, to know the seasons that we're living in, and to do our part in the great commission. It's a commission because God is doing it with us. We're not doing it alone, but He is sending us out into the highways, into the byways, now with the internet all over the world to tell people about the goodness of God, who He is, and not to get terror-focused, not to get fearful-focused, but to say, listen, you need to get God-focused. You need a God perspective in your life. We want to encourage you. Take the time. Listen, share these segments, you know, on Facebook, on your social media. We have a YouTube channel. We want to partner with you in helping to spread the good news of the gospel all over the world to alert people, to inform them, but also to empower them to do what they can do in the life that they have to do it.
That's it.
I mean, we're here.
It doesn't get any more simple than that. And that's the thing. It's just understanding the fact of just, I remember when you shared a message a long time ago in regards to 10 things that constantly stay focused about souls. And you say focus on the heart of God, staying focused on what matters most, because we're going to have to answer for it. It all comes down to that moment.
Listen, it's all coming down the line. You know, we are in the last days.
Yeah.
The question is, where are you in the dash? Where are you in the last days?
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll be right back.